Hi, welcome to episode 39 of Walk to Work from a slightly windy Edinburgh, which has been getting in the way of recording for the past few weeks. I tried recording yesterday, it was just too windy, so hopefully today will be okay because today is publishing day. So I wanted to talk about how to lead and follow anything. Recently, I taught a workshop at IFDIF, InterVarsity Folk Dance Festival, a workshop on that subject with the help of Jess. And I guess an alternate title would kind of be a partner dance fusion curriculum. It's kind of wanted to share where I'm at right now, which is probably different from where I was at 2 years ago, and also different from where I'll be at 2 years from now, on how leading and following works. And so this is, although I'm thinking of it as fusion, it's definitely very much influenced from the various dances I do, and more specifically from the freedoms available from Black partner dance, as exemplified by blues and Lindy Hop. And I feel that any explanation of how partnering works in partner dance should cover at least all the dances I know. And so I think these explanations cover Balfolk, Tango, blues, Balboa, Lindy Hop. And what I like about it is that I feel that this the principles I have for how leading and following works are relatively simple. And there's few of them, which is generally a good thing for explaining something. And I know some people feel that the difference between different dances is specifically how the technique of partnering works in that dance. I don't entirely disagree, but I do think that the kind of overarching, at the overarching principle level, there are commonalities, and then the specifics of how you use those commonalities might be different. Like in some dances you'll lead and follow footwork, in other dances you won't. In some dances each partner has relatively independent solo movement, and in other dances you're aiming for, or you might be aiming for, something that's kind of like a four-legged monster. But I think the same overarching principle applies. So the single kind of overarching principle is the way that I lead is I move my body. And the way that I follow is I track how my partner is moving their body, and I respond in a way that makes sense. And so making sense is a very big umbrella. And there's some extra stuff going on. When I'm leading, I'm also tracking how my partner's body is moving and responding, doing the next thing in a way that makes sense both for my body and for their body. And we often think of dancing, of partner dancing, as communicating signals. And I don't like that for two reasons. So one is the kind of complexity of human body movement can't be distilled into a set of signals. Because then you'd have to learn a ridiculous amount of signals to be able to lead a bunch of different nuances. And the other is just that signaling feels so much less rich and sharing than sharing movement does. So I much prefer to think of sharing movement, even if in the end you probably could say, well, that thing is the signal that you picked up on to choose to do X. And so the reason we're not signaling, you would think, oh, well, for my partner to know what's coming up, I have to signal what's coming up. And one of the tricks to this is for the body to move when we're leading and when we're following in a coherent way. If it's telling a coherent story, the way that we're redistributing tone across the different muscles in our body is going to make sense. And that making sense is going to be available to someone looking at us, is going to be available to someone touching our hand, touching our head, touching our back. The information is very much there. And the information that's there is simultaneously where I'm at now in space. And where I'm at now in space tells you, and the shape that I'm in, and the full shape of my body tells you where I can probably go next. So like if I want to pivot, I'm going to prep that pivot. And so I'm simultaneously going to step forward and open the right side of my body so as to pivot left. So I would step forward with my left foot, open the right side of my body so the right side of my body lags behind, create that stretch in my body and use that to pivot left, for example. And so if I'm dancing with a partner, they'll be simultaneously able to feel where I am when I take that left step forward. Oh, he stepped forward on left. And they'll feel the opening of my body. And so they're like, oh, he stepped forward on left and his body's open. And that is preparing whatever I do next. And so they can kind of know how these things work and be like, oh, if he's stepping forward on his left foot with his body open, he's probably going to pivot towards the left. But they can also just choose to create the same configuration with their body, and then they'll also be ready to pivot left, because we have similar bodies, and so if when I'm following, I do something that matches what my leader is doing, I'm simultaneously there with them and prepared to do whatever's coming up next. And so I think this gives an explanation that has very little lag. Maybe there is some parts where there's more lag than others, as kind of changes happen, but you can track those changes and simultaneously, and because you're with, it means you can continue to be with instant to instant. Because things just don't happen suddenly. They always happen with some kind of preparation. And part of the thing of partner dancing, I guess, is deliberately moving your body in a way that something sudden doesn't happen. So that everything flows in a good, readable, logical way. And then there's a lot of space for following in this, in that you're tracking where your partner's body is and you match by doing whatever makes sense. And it can be deliberately doing exactly the same thing, or it can be deliberately doing something that matches for a slightly more liberal interpretation of matches. And then maybe that constrains what your body is ready to do next. And that's where the kind of reverse part of that is. I can track where my partner is. Maybe they're not with me because maybe they said, I can be with you, but just it'll be a couple of beats. And so I give them a couple of beats to wait until they are with me. Or I'm with you, but I'm not prepped for a turn. And so if I feel that they're with me up to a certain point, but they're not prepped for a turn, well, I abort that turn or just do the turn myself, but don't lead the turn. The tracking and matching goes both ways. And then we get into what leading and following is, and that's a bit of a different thing. Oh, and the wind is back, and worse than ever. We'll see how am I doing for time, yeah. And so then part of this is also that we're physically touching. And so one of the things is that we kind of keep that physical touch and the space that's offered in that physical touch, the amount by which we're willing to depart, to change that space, gives a certain amount of precision. So I can be very willing to change the space, in which case you can feel, oh, I can move, I can follow and move three steps to the left and still be following, because the space that's given in which the touch will stay is very big. Or I can make my body more stretchy, and so then if you move three steps to the left, well, suddenly you're creating a lot of stretch because I'm kind of being like, in front of me is here, and here is where I expect you to be. And then any point where you're not here in front of me, there's kind of a stretch in my body, and probably that's matched by a stretch in my partner's body, that says, it's cool that we're where we are, but this stretchiness is saying the place we want to return to, the place we want to resolve to, is right in front of me. And so I guess that's one of the specifics, is that we create shape with our bodies, and our partners can then create shapes that match into that. And so some of those shapes will be parallel, some of those shapes will be mirrored, some of those shapes will be very specific and precise, some of those shapes will be more liberal. Some of those shapes will be transforming, if like they're transforming for us to be from a bodies close together to a bodies further away. Maybe our hand stays in the same place, and so the shape of my body is that my body is going away from my hand. The shape of my partner's body can then be that my partner's body is going away from their hand. And then you get things like Lindy Rock steps. That shape can be kind of opening into a V one side, or opening into a V the other side. Or it can be a more parallel shape, so I move my whole body, including my hands, and then suddenly we're sort of offset and being inside partner, like in tango. And yeah, those shapes are feelable and a part of how we choose relationships between each other. And that's one of the, I guess, one of the pillars. And I guess that accounts for... There's kind of two versions of it. One is giving us... one part of it is giving us the shape itself, and is telling us, are we moving in parallel, are we moving in mirrored, are we moving away from each other, are we moving towards each other? And the other half of the shape is the amount of give there is in it. So is this specifically where we want to be and where we want to return to? Like, is it an elastic shape, or is it a more floppy shape, which will accommodate different choices? And so those are kind of 1/2. I think in yesterday's recording I called them 3 and 4, or 3 and 3.5, are the shape and the amount of resilience the shape has. And I guess that encompasses a range of movement, or a family of movements that will affect and change this shape. Another family of movements are those that change our axis or change our weight. And those are things that are going to involve... So the shape is typically going to involve the shoulder girdle, the arms, some of the rotation in the body, from hips to rib cage. The weight changing is going to involve tone in the standing leg and transfer of tone from one standing leg to another standing leg, and using the standing leg, simultaneously carrying it towards the receiving leg and releasing tone at the same time. And that's stuff that I like to have students work on a lot. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, a lot of this curriculum is basically Brenda Russell, and to some extent Catherine Palmier's partner dancing curriculum, plus stuff that I've picked up from a variety of teachers over the years. But main credit, this is mostly Brenda Russell's material. Go do workshops with her. She's amazing. Which, of course, I mean, she didn't invent. This is material that comes from then how body mechanics works, and what... people who teach vernacular dance as opposed to more kind of art forms of dance such as ballroom will describe in their teaching. So yeah, we have these weight shifts and these steps and how the weight shifts and steps work. And then when we get to more kind of walking, pivoting steps, we have the spine gets involved. And we have various kinds of alignments and twists in the spine. So normal walking will be in counter body. So my pelvis will rotate on each step as the receiving leg gets carried forward. And my spine will stay relatively facing forward at the rib cage. And then there's this twist between the bottom and the top of my spine. And this twist is part of what says this is the kind of step that's coming up and is part of what helps resolve the step effortlessly and go into the next step. And so because it's a fundamental part of walking, it means if I want to lead walking, me walking like a walker as opposed to like a robot or a fridge is a really important part of making leading walking forward go work. And then my partner will feel the way that my standing leg is carrying my pelvis forward, will feel the twist in my spine, will feel the transfer of tone from the standing leg to the receiving leg, and will feel the resolution of twist into spine as we go to the next step. And again, you can think of this really technically, or you can kind of just do it. And at some point, the just doing it is any change of tone or tone distribution in my muscles, if my partner reflects that in some way, they will probably both be with me, both in the sense of with me where I am now and with me prepared to do whatever I'm prepared to do next. Yeah, so those are kind of the 3.5 points. They are how we transfer weight and how we take steps using our pelvic floor and the tone in our legs, how we do walking and pivoting and turning using our spine, and how we create shapes that are more or less resilient with our upper body shaping. And that, I think, is everything you need to cover partnering in all the dances I know. And as I said, it works out a bit differently. Like if I'm in a dance where I follow weight shifts, well, I'm going to track the weight shifts that my partner is doing and I'm going to do the same. If I'm not in a dance where I follow weight shifts, it's still useful for me to know where my partner's weight is and where they're going, and that tells me where they can go. And then I can choose something to match that gives me the possibility of being with them in some way and also of being prepared to go with them in some other way for whatever they're going to do next. Let me know what your basics of partnering would be, where they would be different from mine, where they'd be similar. As I said, I expect in 2 years' time I'll have a completely different perspective, and I'd really like your help in growing that. I'll see you next week, and until then, take care.